Right now, it is time to bring in Jim Lynch, of course, Cover Your Assets. Jim is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, sports, a whole bunch of things. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, Jim Lynch. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Marshall. Good morning, Jill. Good morning, everybody out there. I hope you're doing fine. Do I hear that you're getting into show business, Marshall?
I've been into show business for a long time. You know, it was real nice.
It all depends on what you call show business.
What you're going to show. We got a real nice email here yesterday from Heritage Village in Southbury, Connecticut. Some people that listened to the radio station there, and they wanted more information on my dad.
So. Did we find out how they listened?
Not yet. They haven't responded yet. So that's always nice when your dad, who's been dead since you were like 12 or 13 years old, is still remembered by other people. So
yeah, that's lovely.
Yeah,
it's very lovely.
So I can't wait to hear back from them. Okay, now speaking about dead, I don't mean to joke about this, but we got an 800-pound gorilla in the room, and that's obviously got to be a topic of some conversation this morning.
An 800-pound gorilla, what say thee?
Yeah, it's well, you know. I actually last night because I thought the football game was on, but it was just some crummy, like third rate football teams playing because the national championship I guess it is until next week, but I flipped on Fox, CNN, and MSNBC, all talking about the assassination of this Iraqi general who was in Iran. And it just further confuses and heightens a really weird situation. You know, Jim, you're old enough to know this, and that's I don't mean that as a slight or anything like this. I'm just barely enough to know that the United States and the East, too, or whatever, what our bloc has continually screwed up in the Middle East, continually. It's absolutely amazing, and it just continues. It continued from the creation of Israel, which was a good idea. Don't get me wrong, but the way it was handled, the way it's been handled over the years, and now you sit in a situation where, in my opinion, the United States has now no leverage whatsoever in the Middle East.
Well, you're absolutely correct.
Except for the leverage of a big club. But other than that, there is no other leverage.
You're right on. We've been gradually destroying all leverage and in the process making some allies somewhat hostile to us. But let's go back a piece in terms of the whole deal is the country that invades the other country normally loses. And I'll just take us back to Vietnam, where we were disgraced. But my key point, which follows through on the Iraqi war and now this war, is that the party in power lied, L-I-E-D, about what was going on in Vietnam. And while our boys and girls were being slaughtered, we kept saying, oh, everything's okay, and send us more troops. Then we left in disgrace. 18 years ago, George Bush Jr. and Dick Cheney lied that the Iraqis had weapons of mass destruction. And that set in place, and I'm certain we have other history on this, but that set in place the more recent failures of ours in the Middle East. George Bush apparently was trying to outdo his father and Colin Powell, who had done a masterful job getting rid of the folks who took over Kuwait, and then said, okay, that's done, and we're out of here. Yeah. Well, George Bush was looking for more, I don't know, oil or whatever it was. But he and Cheney, particularly Cheney, were great liars. and created a virus of lying. And here we are 18 years later, stuck with the same thing, and another Republican administration is lying in terms of why they killed this guy at this time. At this time. He was a bad actor. He was on George Bush Jr.'s screen. They elected not to kill him. He was on Barack Obama's screen. They elected not to kill him. Why? Because of what we are experiencing right now. We've just inflamed people who we call our enemies. We basically took out an Iranian on Iraqi soil. you probably have to go back to the war in 1914 to get into that kind of thing. So it's lies, and we shouldn't be surprised in this administration about them lying about this. This is just another lie. However, it's a lie that is it's undescribable what may or may not happen, and we just don't know.
Well, that's the whole thing about this. Now, I go back. I penned something and put it up, and some people said, "Huh, did you go to Wikipedia for that?" And I said, "No, I didn't have to go back." Here's the problem with the United States and their foreign policy sometimes, and how the Office of the Presidency of the United States, basically since the 1960s, has slowly been taking away the power of Congress. We're going to go back, and I know, Jim, you're going to laugh about this. I'll use the term, remember the Maine. The Maine was apparently blown up by foreign people, and that got us into a war. And as it turned out later on, well, maybe not so quick here. You know, it doesn't look like foreign actors were the ones that sabotaged the Maine. Then you go to the Vietnam War and the Gulf of Tonkin incident. There was no Gulf of Tonkin incident. But that Gulf of Tonkin incident gave the president powers, and that's when the dramatic increase in the Vietnam War started. Then let's just flash ahead over a bunch of whole other the weapons of mass destruction. I actually had a service member tell me that, "Oh, Marshall, you're wrong. Weapons of mass destruction were found in the desert." They weren't found in the desert. No weapons of mass destruction program was found. Once again, another reason that we went into a conflict was not proper. Now, and I'm going to say this all along, Republicans or Democrats, the Office of the Presidency has consolidated certain things that almost leaves the Congress of the United States out of the decision. This is what has to stop. This is the dangerous thing that has to stop. And it's for every president that you should not be able, should you be able to defend yourself? Absolutely. Should you be able to, through a lot of diplomacy, and if you know something's coming, to try to stop it? Yes. But should you assassinate a very bad person, but who has represented his government and was invited into Iran? I don't believe he was invited to settle peace, but he was invited by the government of Iran there. And then for the United States to assassinate that person is just the wrong thing at the wrong time. It just doesn't equate to anything that makes sense.
Well, unfortunately, we've been watching that approach to running the government accelerating as the last 3 years have gone on. Madman, crazy. We can lay it on Trump, and indeed he's deserving of it. But I have to tell you, each day that things happen, the Republican Party, which is the party in the Senate, which could effectively do something regarding this man's behavior, because the House already is put its foot forward, they're doing nothing. They're not even speaking out. This was the party of national security, sound government principles, etc. They're acting like people in a dictatorship, where the minions just become yes men to the dictator, and that's what the Republicans are doing with Trump. They're becoming his yes men. Now, if that's all that happened, that's fine. But it's impacting, firstly, 300 million Americans in a negative way, and secondly, the free world at large. This thing in the Middle East, that's the whole problem with it. It can go on and start hitting this country and that country.
You know, when I sit here and look at this, and like I said, I'm not going to, I mean, what was done here was taken to a new height. And this has not been pointed out. I haven't seen it yet or heard anybody talk about it yet. I truly believe in my heart that this action was taken. Yes, I do believe that. I don't believe the military is lying. I think the military, because the general spoke out yesterday, I do believe there was some information that something was afoot. I absolutely believe our military on that. I believe our intelligence agencies that there was something afoot, and that the president was given a range of options. And he chose the most extreme option. And I think the reason he chose the most extreme option, and I know Jill's going to probably throw something at me for this, and other people are going to throw something at me for this, is because he wanted to teach Kim Jong-un a lesson that, you cannot get away from us. I sincerely believe in my deepest of hearts that this major mistake was made for that reason. And that's what has me the most, I'm almost scared or upset or conflicted, is because I do believe the military has America at heart, but I don't believe this decision was made on military merit by the president.
I totally agree. I don't know if it's in relation to Kim, but it's in relation to Donald Trump's personal interest. If he had just sent in a few sorties of missiles and so forth, to straighten them out and so forth and so on, that'd be one thing. But he assassinated somebody, which makes him the big man on campus, and he thinks is going to help him either get reelected or helps distract the American people. But it was done for personal reasons. That is the whole story with this government. Ivanka Trump, in 2000 and something, did business with the family of the guy who got knocked off, because the Trumps have been operating all over the world of people who are willing to commit fraud and crimes for money and vice versa. That's Ivanka Trump representing the Trump Organization. Jared Kushner gets $1 billion from the Saudi prince. What was the trade-off there? Okay, on it goes. This Mar-a-Lago fiasco, in terms of the man who was assassinated, this was being talked about, as Lindsey Graham told us, on Monday of the week it happened. Also, people down there, and journalists have covered this, his goombas, Trump's goombas, were saying, something big is coming. Now, that is not someone who is thinking something out and getting the advice of others. That's a schoolboy who's playing, he thinks, some dirty trick on somebody. This is who runs the country, and we're letting him run the country.
Well, like I said, I'm going to put the office of the presidency and strip it away and just say, sooner or later, the House and the Senate have got to get together and reclaim their responsibilities and not cede to the president's wish. You know, locally, this just happened. We had a school board changeover this past week. We've had a school board for the past 8 to 10 years that has been totally unresponsive to the public, only following what the superintendent, instead of guiding the superintendent was guiding the school board. Well, last night something amazing happened. There was a new change, new members came on, new board, and all of a sudden they, right now, the way they've started off, have taken the role they should take, which is to make sure the school system's operating legally and efficiently.
It's an oversight capacity.
And to be oversight and boss of the Region 1 superintendent, not the other way around. And here's where the problem has really stemmed over the past 25 to 30 years, even more or less, since the Gulf of Tonkin incident, really, is that the Office of Presidency has slowly eroded the power which gave us a separation of the different forms of government. They've assumed it,
so they can do these things.
And you've got to get now a House and a Senate in there that, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, have to say, okay, these are the rules. This is what you must do. Unless you do this, we're going to find you in contempt, which is impeachable. But it has turned into such a political chess game.
It's not even a chess. It's a political food fight. It's just so bloody sloppy that most people, I'm sorry to say, there are a lot of people who just don't even care to watch the food fight, which is really unfortunate, because the food fight is masking some really important stuff that's going down, and it's really appalling. Well, in case anyone wants my view.
So sooner or later in this election, hopefully, we will elect enough people on either party who believes in the independence of the House and the Senate from the presidency, from the judiciary. That's the way this country operates at its best. And that's what we really have to get back to, Jim. I mean, if we don't get back to that, I fear it doesn't matter who we elect president, that person will always try to take advantage of what other presidents before him have done.
And I don't want to say get back to, I want to say go forward to. Yeah. It's like, this needs to be reconfigured. It's abundantly clear that the ultimate goal of public service has absolutely nothing to do with the public.
Yeah. Now, hey, Congress, Nancy Pelosi is said to be putting on the floor legislation to take back the president's power to just go and start a war at will without consulting the legislative body. Let's presume she gets that through. When it goes to the Senate, that's the question mark. And we have a problem here that, frankly, is somewhat akin and equal to Trump's foibles. His name is Mitch McConnell. There are 400 bills on his desk that have been passed over the last year or so by the Congress of the United States, the House of Representatives. He has not worked on them. He has not put them on the floor. This is the same man who stalled for a year in an unprecedented action to prevent a judge, a Supreme Court justice, from being voted upon. So we have someone who has been utilizing the president's personal weaknesses, his inability to concentrate and figure out what's going on, by doing his own work, which in this case is stalling to the advantage of whoever is giving him money or giving him favors. And I'm certain it's beyond Chow, his wife's mother, his wife's family, who've given millions of dollars to this guy, Mitch McConnell. So we have the deep state always was the Republicans and Trump. All you have to do is hear what Trump says negatively about something and just turn it around and say he's talking about himself, because his internal mechanism is really fouled up. This is a dangerous situation. Let's watch. Hopefully the House will do as we're talking about here. And by the same token, and I meant to start this way, but let me give you a quick investment thing. My beginning year, sell stocks up 28% last year, up from 9,000 to 29,000 in the last 10 years. Avoid bonds 3 years and longer because we have a huge deficit. If we go to war, we're going to have to sell all kinds of government bonds. And lastly, buy gold. I actually tweeted that a couple of days ago. So to give you some price perspective. By the way, gold is for a safe haven. It's not to be traded. If you trade gold, you trade with a professional. But small amount, 3% to 5%. But you need some gold. The road is very rough going forward here, and it'll serve you well as a small portion of your portfolio. I would also say, as I've said, I think on a Twitter or somewhere, please be cautious. Don't be the brave one. Stay out of places that have a lot of crowds. Don't fly internationally. Keep your mouth shut and listen. Don't engage any of these Nazi Fagans on either side of the aisle.
I haven't heard Nazi Fagan in the longest time.
Well, you just heard it now, and I want a standing ovation. Thank you so much.
All right. All right, Jim. Well, hopefully we'll speak to you next week.
Well, hopefully I won't be Nazi Fagan next week.
Okay.
You have a great one.
All right, take care, Jim.
See you.
All right. Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets here on Robinhood Radio.